playing at my request all of my favorite Christmas carols. That was beautiful. And for your faithfulness and your ministry to us every week, we're just so thankful for that. And I love that phrase. If you're listening to the music of the season carefully, you'll hear a sermon in every song. There is a sermon in every song, and I just love that phrase, joy to the world, the Lord has come. He's here, and the world needs a really good dose of joy. Let earth receive her king. The Bible says, why do the nations rage and conspire against the Lord and his anointed one? You can feel the nations raging. And this beautiful hymn writer says, let earth receive her king. And if Jesus is your king, you will say in that beautiful prayer, Lord, may your kingdom come. And that means the reign and the rule of Jesus. Many of us can live in the realm of I want, I think, I feel. And when you give your life to Jesus, it's about what he wants and what he thinks and what he feels. And when you say, Lord, may your kingdom come, you have to agree that your kingdom has to go. And it's just wonderful when this little phrase, let every heart prepare him room. Is your heart wide open to the advent, the coming, the visitation of Jesus? Because he's going to show up where you least expect him. And heaven and nature sing. We get to join a revelation of Jesus, which is the beauty of nature, and it sings. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Have you joined them? Heaven, the holy choir, sings nonstop. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with his glory. Let's listen to the church bells as we pray. What a lovely sound that has been echoing through the ages, Lord, that you said you would come and you're here. And I pray that this nation and this land will always have church bells ringing, calling people to worship in all its beautiful forms. We're just so thankful at this season to take a moment, to take a deep breath and relax and communicate with you. Throughout the rest of this service, Lord Jesus, as you have already begun, I pray that you would speak to the need in every heart, online, here today, and those who will listen later on. Speak to the needs in our own heart, which you alone know, and lead us in the way everlasting. For your name's sake, Lord Jesus, amen and amen. If you do not like the winter, summer's coming, and this summer is the Olympics. Where are they? France, thank you. This year they're in France. And I remember an Olympiad a little while ago, and I love the Olympics. My favorite event is the 100 meter sprint. The Olympics are a great illustration of the Christian life because they start with a 100 meter sprint and they finish with a 42 kilometer marathon. And if your Christian life is sprinting and marathoning and sprinting and marathoning, you'll get it. But on one particular occasion, the runners lined up, and as they ran down the 100 meters, there was a front runner who was ahead of everybody by a long shot. And that front runner sensed something as they were looking at their finish line, is they sensed something happened behind them. And they slowed down a little bit, and from the corner of their eye, they saw that someone had fallen down and stumbled off the track and was injured. And that front runner knew enough not to cross the finish line because the race would be over, but that front runner walked back, picked up that individual, made sure they were okay, and six Olympians walked across the finish line together in unity. They used the phrase the Special Olympics for that group of individuals, but I like Caroline's name for the group that meets here on Mondays. They're called the Friendship Club. And if you were here on Monday, you would have saw one of the most beautiful expressions of friendship and the gospel I've ever seen. There's a man named Stephen who had a crown of some sorts on, and he stood up here for an hour, and he beamed with the most beautiful smile that just echoed through the building. You'll see Daniel in a minute, Caitlin's gorgeous little son, and Matthew, and we had a real baby Jesus. And I don't know the girl who they put the baby in her arms, but all the way in the balcony, one of my friends could see the expression on her face, and tears filled her eyes because of the glory of this young woman looking at a baby and experiencing the sheer joy of the moment. And then there was Jim. I was picking on Jim because he had this head covering on, and poor old Jim, it kept getting knocked off by the guy behind him, and he had to put it back on. And here's a man. Where are you, Jim? There he is. Okay, there he is. Here's a guy who's preached for 60, 70 years of his life, loves that you're sitting amongst a bunch of shepherds. And then at the back, there's Gary Stops, pastor here for 30 years. And Gary's at the back with a bunch of his group, and they're the wise men and the kings, and they come down. And one of them, his gift that day was, I'm going to wheel my wheelchair down on my own and be part of the pageantry. And everybody played their role. And Caroline, I didn't see anybody complain to you about how you put it all together and what was missing and what wasn't there. I just saw joy and peace and kindness and gentleness. And it was just wonderful. And those expressions of humility and simplicity and sheer joy were just a delight for me to see in the middle of Christmas, where, quite frankly, we really complicate it. We can really complicate it. And it was just a wonderful time to sit back and watch the beauty of that. And then Friday night, even before Friday, I'm driving down the road, and there's Michelle Kleinsteiber with 50 kids behind her and some support, and she's bringing the Roman Catholic kids of her French class to the Baptist church to sing. Yeah, get that, India. Not many people are doing that. And then they show up on Friday and they sing with Jeremy Dorton. And if you haven't had a chance to look at the YouTube feed, Jeremy Dorton's version of O Come Emmanuel is absolutely magnificent. It will just speak to your heart. So that's on YouTube if you want to see it. Caroline, did the friendship get videoed? Yeah. Oh, it did. That's wonderful. So we have records of all of that. So if you would like to have a sermon in real time, by some beautiful people. You got Monday, you got Friday, and then today we're going to interview Caitlin and Matt. This is what I call living letters, known and read of all people. Paul says, you are a living letter, known and read of all men. Question, how's my letter being read this year? How's the letter of my life demonstrating his life to others? Exciting opportunity. It's a gift. And you can't live the Christian life without Jesus. So you thank him for what he's done in your life, and you watch the miracle happen in your life and mine. Please welcome our dear new pastor and his wife, Matthew and Caitlin, to talk about their living letter. And Daniel's asleep, so try not to wake him up. And I'm going to ask my wife to come up here too, and I'll explain to you why Julia is up here, because she's really important. I'm going to make it really tight for you two, but I know you're just still crazy in love with each other, so it's all good. Oh, and Daniel is just out. Oh, isn't this? I grew up in the 80s, so I used to love Larry King Live. So this is Dan Horn Live. But we might have to switch it up a little bit, because you know that Matthew McConaughey here and Danny DeVito, that's our handle. We're just going to switch it today, gang. I'm going to go Jim and Tammy Faye today. We got our Christmas tree, our guest. Isn't this special? We're going to go 80s interview style. So Julia's here, and she's got her foot ready, because if I ask a question that's inappropriate, you guys all know the kicking under the table thing. Jules is here just to keep it real, and we're excited. We want to get to know you better. And I used to write on the door of my classroom when I taught, I would put this on the board. It's a phrase I hope you can carry with you. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. People do not care about how much you know until they know how much you care. And if this city and this town is known for something, it's people who deeply, deeply care. And I know you felt that this week, Caitlin, and you might want to mention just that in a moment. But my first question for both of you, and you get to start, Caitlin, just rewind and take us through a little bit of the childhood and the high school and, you know, some of the things that brought you into our midst and just growing up in your world, Caitlin, where and when and who, and tell us about your start.
All righty. So I'm Caitlin, and I grew up in Port Lambton. That's kind of in between Chatham and Sarnia. I grew up on a farm, and I was blessed to have parents that valued the Christian faith. And
A little closer, because I want our gang at the back to hear.
Sorry.
Thanks.
So I was very blessed to grow up in the Christian faith, Christian schooling, and that's just really amazing to know God your whole life. And yeah, I went off to Redeemer for a year, and then Dort College. I studied nursing there, and that was my plan my whole life, to do nursing, but then God led my heart to special needs, and I started working for community living and then Christian Horizons.
So Redeemer to Dort. Mm-hmm. Where's Dort? I've heard of it.
That's in Iowa.
Okay. Wow. And what did you study at Redeemer?
I did health science there with the intention to switch over to nursing. The plan was to go to McMaster, but when you're on a Christian campus and have that same foundation as your housemates and your teachers, there's nothing like it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fantastic. So when did Matt come into your world, and what was that like, meeting Matthew?
Well, we met during the pandemic online. So that was interesting. You don't really meet people during a pandemic, but we started talking, and I loved how we had so much in common, our morals and values, and he was very intentional, and we had a lot of fun doing hiking and kayaking.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what would you say? You said you were so privileged to be brought up in a Christian home, like many of you are. And a lot of people, I would say, they know Jesus their whole life because he's been expressed to them through the family. And we call that, you kind of come to Christ through the evolutionary process. And then other people, it's drastic. It's a revolutionary process where God just kind of comes into your world and changes everything. Would you say you've kind of just evolved into your walk with Jesus? Or was there a moment where you said, you know, I really want to make my faith my own?
I feel like my faith has always been my own, but there's definitely been times in my life where I've clung to God so much more, and our relationship took that like next big step. So I've definitely experienced that in high school during different transitions, and when I was in university, and even before I met Matthew, there was a big shift in my faith as well.
What's the most exciting thing so far about being here with this gang?
You guys are so welcoming and loving, and we definitely feel that. We come from kind of a bigger church, and it's kind of hard to get to know people, but you guys have been so intentional with coming up and introducing yourself, and we appreciate the meals and the help of moving us into our new home. We're very thankful for that.
Wow. Well, I don't want to keep you girls up here too long because I know you're not big up front people, but thank you for just blessing us with your smile, your confidence, and there's just so much more we want to get to know about you, and we will ask you more questions, and feel free, everyone, just to really dial in on our lovely Julia and Caitlin here and get to know them better. So thanks, girls. I appreciate you coming to start us off. Yeah, you guys, if you want, you can just take your little darlings and have a seat.
Now we don't have to behave.
Okay, Matt. I'm going to get my notes over here because I just wanted to kind of be real, you know, just keep it simple. Last week, I enjoyed Matt's sermon. I get feedback on the text line, so these guys are all great at letting me know how they're feeling and what's going on. So there are two big takeaways from last week's sermon. Just wanted you to unpack these in the Greek. The first one was something about snipping little Willie. And I think the second one was something about a silver fox, and I wasn't sure how that fit into the Greek text, but I think we'll unpack that later. I wanted to take a little easier on Matt, so I just thought my first question for Matt was going to be, let's talk about the doctrine of election, Baptist history, women roles in ministry, and the current crisis in, how about we'll go with Iraq, Iran, Syria, and the crisis in the Middle East, as well as the Ukraine sling.
That sounds easy. Get right into
it. Just kidding. Matt, you grew up in a context. Let's take us, Matt, as a little boy. What were you doing? What were you dreaming? What did you want to be when you were a little kid? And talk about your childhood.
Yeah, so I, like my wife, grew up in a strong Christian family, valued Christian education, went through primary school, Christian private school, went to a Catholic high school, and then shipped off to Heritage College and Seminary in Cambridge, and so that's my education, but that's all boring, isn't
it? I gotta jump in, because Caitlin, I wanted to ask you this. Is he funny on purpose, or does it just happen all the time? It just happens. Shipped off to Heritage. I just love the way he phrases things. Tell them what Heritage is and carry.
I say shipped off because it wasn't, I guess there's elements of that I was like, okay, we'll go there. But I had a really good intentional youth pastor in my years at Owen Sound Alliance Church. His name is Greg Musselman. And he saw in my early years of high school a passion for youth ministry and for the word. And so he was kind of pushing me along this path towards ministry because he saw something that I didn't. So I was volunteering with the youth group and whatnot and having a good time. So he kind of was saying, you know, if this is where you feel God's leading, then the next step is going off to college/university. And that was not something I was, like, very excited about at all. I'm not a school person, really. The idea of sitting in a classroom all day was unappealing to me, and the financial element of it, too, is like, oh, do I really want to go pay for 4 years of upper education when I could work instead? And so there is, like, a lot of disinterest into going to school. And so when I say shipped off, it was like, literally, there's this conversation with my youth pastor who's like, at this point in church ministry, you're going to have a lot of difficulty if you're not pursuing further education. And, you know, you should also open up your heart to the Lord to teach you and have a teachable spirit. And because I was, you know, 19, and like most 19-year-olds, I thought I had everything figured out. And so, I mean, I was right, but...
There it is. I love hearing that. Matt, when you preach, I see an incredible thoroughness and thoughtfulness, and I know that you were up really late at night preparing. And I think it's, I love it when God takes someone who kind of, you know, resists that academic thing a little bit, but you've done your hard work, and I can tell that you've really brought yourself into academia, and we appreciate that. Lots of academics in the room, and they appreciate that about you.
Yeah, on the post side of it, I can definitely see the value of further education, 100%, but going into it, it was kind of like, really? Okay, well. Yeah.
But. I love that phrase that we always want to anchor in the when the disciples were walking around Jerusalem and persecuted and despised and went through suffering, the Pharisees looked at them, and they were the very intelligentsia of the day. And they looked at them, and the Bible says they were in awe because these were ordinary, unschooled men and women, but they could see that they had been with Jesus. And the more time I spend with your lovely wife and her son and you, I can tell that you spent time with Jesus, and that means more to us than anything. Education, we love it. Get as much as you can, but please spend as much time as you can with Jesus, because there's a lot of really smart, educated people right now that are messing up the planet because they don't spend time with Jesus. We like both, and thank you for demonstrating that. Favorite movie, Matt?
Lord of the Rings.
Sorry?
Lord of the Rings, no question.
Oh my gosh, Lord of the Rings. I thought you said Deliverance. Good town to be in.
Yeah.
Not that I've seen that movie. All right, Lord of the Rings. What are the? There's so many biblical lessons in there. Give us a few.
I don't know if I watch them for that reason, but no. Yeah, the author of the books that was the foundation for the movie had strong Christian values, and you can see that written through the narratives, there's all sorts of ideas of redemption, and there's Christian theology. As the more that you read those books and the more you know about the individual J.R.R. Tolkien, I think it would be impossible for him to write something without this very vivid and very creative faith being intertwined into what he wrote. And it's the same thing with C.S. Lewis, my second favorite author. So,
good stuff. What's your favorite holiday, Matt? What do you and Caitlin like to do on your holidays to enjoy friendship? And
she was still up here, she would say that she married someone who hates holidays.
Oh no.
We have a deal. She says you have to celebrate every holiday, but you get one freebie. So I get to pick one holiday that I don't have to celebrate, and I usually pick Halloween, but I like Christmas for sure, but the rest of the holidays, I feel, and I get this idea too a little bit with Christian with Christmas, is that we over materialize it, and that drains away from the message behind it, and like with Easter and Christmas, this is, I think, a bigger problem too, is that this idea of you know, getting decorations up and lights and all of these.
I love it.
Yeah. I just, the consumerism of it sometimes gets
for
in
sure.
the way, I think, of the holiday spirit, and so that's something. Yeah. But I guess the child in me still gets excited when the Christmas tree goes up anyways, a battling of two different ideologies inside of me. But
well, trust me, when little Daniel grows up, that's going to be 5 o'clock in the morning yanking on you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The presents rolling. When you were kind of growing up, was there something you wanted to be as a child that was just sort of a dream?
Outside? Rather than in the school? You said,
where, yeah.
What did I want? No, I mean, like...
What was a dream
vocation? I didn't have a dream of, like, oh, I want this as, like... I wasn't sitting in the classroom going, oh, I want to be a firefighter. It was
right.
Like, oh, I just want to be outside. I
don't, not like, in that's the classroom.
So, like, if the teacher asks, you know, at the front, like, what do you want to be when you're older? I would say, outside. Right? So, it's not an answer to the question.
No,
in the way,
it sure
yeah,
is.
So... No, I didn't, like, coming up as a child, there wasn't any specific career that I ever, like, it wasn't until after high school where it was, like, at the point where it's like, okay, you actually have to decide now. It's like, oh, all right, well, let's think. And so I end up pursuing a variety of different, I wouldn't say quite call them careers, but I ended up in a few different trades, kind of figuring out where I might want to be, and you know, I think the Lord kept leading me back to ministry, even though that was, I would say I had always had a heart for ministry, but not necessarily vocational ministry. That was something that the Lord had to tug me into a bit. My idea of ministry always growing up was that it was something that it was a responsibility of any devout Christian to be part of some sort of ministry alongside a vocational career, right? And sometimes, and this is a struggle that I think maybe some people fall into on both sides of it, is that, you know, that ministry as a paid position comes with different responsibilities than a normal Christian. And I think that's on both sides of the problem where we get churches where, and I definitely don't see this here. I definitely see like a very willingness to volunteer and be a part of ministry. But there's churches where there's like, oh, that's the pastor's job.
The paid profession.
We don't have to do like and write off a lot of the responsibilities that God would have them doing in favor of having someone who's paid to do it.
Well,
right?
So, welcome to a community that the tagline of my Bible school was full time Christian service, regardless of occupation. Mm. So they kind of do everything, and we get to cheerlead. That's how it rolls around here, which is really cool. Was there a moment, Matt, where you thought, this gospel of Jesus needs to be my own?
Like a dozen different times. But yeah. Like, similar to what my wife said is that when you grow up in a strong Christian community and with parents who invest that faith into you from a young age, there's several like minor eureka moments. They're not like the major, like, oh, there's gravity, you know, as the apple falls, right? Like it's there's not that huge transition moment, but there's moments where you're going through your walk in faith, and I hope that I always have these moments as I continue to progress with my walk with Christ, but where you go and you look and you see maybe something that you've seen your entire life and you experience, and then you look at that and you go, I really see God in this moment. And a lot of times it's when I'm deep in study for Scripture, I see... I'll give you an example from when I was preparing the last sermon, and I discussed this on the Sunday, but this passage that there's passages you can read over your entire life, and you just see them in a new way, and you realize that the Bible, like no other book, is a living book because it will continue to reveal new things to you, right?
Amen.
Like you, as deep as The Lord of the Rings is as a book, as my favorite, you know, fantasy novel or fiction novel, if you want to, each time I read it, there might be new things that I like remember. Oh, I kind of forgot that, but it doesn't reveal things to me because it's not a living book, right? Whereas the scripture, if you read it with your partnership with the Spirit, you will constantly have new things revealed to you. And so one of the things that was really neat for me was to see, while reading through just this simple passage about how Luke mentions that Zechariah belonged to a certain tribe, and then you can tie that back to the Second Chronicles passage that details all of these boring priestly order stuff, and it's like, but all of that information comes together in a way that reinforces the authenticity of Christ as a real person, a physical human, that Luke is challenging the readers to go like, hey, look, this stuff really happened, and if you doubt it, you can look. There's all of these connections, and these connections are interconnected within a book that was written over the period of 4,000 years, and they correlate to real things that you can study and actually experience even outside of the Christian scripture and the canon of our Christian literature. And he's inviting us to do the research. And so I just had this moment where I go, you know, you, Lord, made this book in a way that is just inviting for further study and further depth. And you know, it was a minor sort of eureka moment, but it's
but you've
like...
You've had many of those over the course
yeah,
of your
and,
life.
Yeah, and each one is comes at such a point in time that it's, you know, furthers me along in the marathon that is the Christian faith. Because there's definitely points, just like running a marathon, when you feel exhausted and burnt out and tired and go, you know, what's the point of running this anyways, right? And that's also a part of the Christian experiences is the valleys and the mountains. And
well, now you just ignited my next question. Last week, you unpacked really well the whole Zechariah and Elizabeth story. And talk about a eureka moment. This sort of leapt out to me last week, Matt. Speaking of Elizabeth and Zechariah, and they were both righteous before God. Job is spoken of that way. Others are spoken of that way. They lived a righteous life. It goes on to say, walking blamelessly. There's a difference between blamelessness and perfection. I'm a basketball guy. So when you are in a bunch of people in the basketball game bashing into each other, you're only allowed to have 5 fouls. And when you commit a foul and they're blaming it on your center, and if he's out, it's going to tank the game. If you get a foul, the thing is you always put your hand up and you say, my bad. My bad. In other words, that foul's on me. And the ref doesn't blame you or the other guy. They just apply the rule. Are we in the habit in our relationships in saying, you know what, that's my fault. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Are we in the habit of doing that? So Elizabeth and Zechariah are living like that. They're blameless. They're righteous. They're walking with God. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, like a lot of us here. They follow the commandments and the statutes. So we got both there. In other words, the Big Ten and the unpacking of them, of the Lord, Yahweh, their God, their covenant God. But we call these big buts of the Bible, Matthew. We love big buts. We cannot lie. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And I thought that was a stroke of brilliance. Last week you said, I think we'll go to barrenness for Christmas. And barrenness meant you don't have a child. They're not going to live on the land and continue your legacy. So basically, barrenness meant your whole family is going to be one day annihilated. It's over. We will not hear about the near house. But they were living well. Do you have a relatively, throughout your life, a moment where you were just living well and the Lord brought you through a little bit of suffering, a little bit of pain. I have a cancer journey. Other people do here. But is there something that you would be comfortable just saying, you know, here's a little moment of suffering that I had, and I was doing well, and the Lord brought me through some suffering? Because we've all been there.
Yeah. All right. He's pulling out the big guns. We'll get through this. Some of you may know, and I'm not ashamed of this chapter of my life, but it is a difficult one to go through. But I was in ministry four years ago. I was ministering at a Chinese church, Chinese Alliance Church in Hamilton, and I was married at the time. My wife at the time had an affair, and she apostated. She left the faith. And despite my efforts to try and bring some sort of reconciliation, there was no desire for that at all. So that was also at the start of COVID, and so I ended up in a really deep dive. There was no moment where I questioned whether God was real, but there was definitely a moment where it's like, regardless if you are real and if the scripture is true, what's the point of doing any of this, right? If I'm going to devote my life to working for you in your kingdom and I still am going to be subjected to all of the difficulties that a normal family might face, right? What's the point, right? Why not do something else, an easier job, right? And so there was a quite a long season where there was no question if I was going to follow Christ with my life, but there was a question whether or not I was going to follow Christ with my career. And that chapter was a difficult chapter, but it was filled with this moment of this discovery of who Christ is, where he wants me, and what's my purpose in the grand scheme of his kingdom. And so the end of that journey is, you know, meeting my wonderful and beautiful wife, Caitlin, and we ended up having quite a few long-form conversations about where are we going to be as a family and where does Christ want us as vocational and volunteer members of his church. Right? Where are we going to be? And that conversation ultimately led us back to this is the path, this is the desire of Christ on our life, is to be involved in a church full-time, committed, and that there's assets, talents that God has given us as a family that he specifically has in the mind for full-time vocational ministry. And that was, you know, that's a four-year-long journey, and that was, there's elements of that journey that were, without a doubt, without a question, the hardest points of my life and my Christian life as a follower of Christ. And there was definitely moments where I was like, this is not the path, okay. And I was led back on the path like a stubborn donkey at points, but here I am.
Well, we are a church of people who have made big mistakes, who will make more, and welcome to the family. One of the things, yes. We front-end load the apology. One of the first times I spoke here, I said, chances are I will offend you, so I'm sorry. We start there. But I love that phrase, in a Egyptian palace with the terrified brothers of Joseph, terrified. They put him in a pit. They had a meal while he screamed, help me, and they ignored him. Judah, the leader, is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. It's the raw material Jesus takes. And in that palace, terrified, Joseph looks at his brothers expecting revenge and retribution, and he says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. This church is starting to grow again, and Satan wants to hijack all of that by dividing and criticizing and humiliating. And we stand on, we know that God works all things for the good those who are called according to his purpose, those who love him. Mm. He, Matthew, who began a good work in you as a child, motivating you to study the scriptures, calling you to ministry, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion in Christ Jesus. He begins it, he continues it, he finishes it. Mm-hmm. So we just sit back and enjoy the ride, and I know you know that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So if God begins it, continues it, and finishes it, we want to be around for that. So that is, we're old men, and we're coming in here with the friendship group and our walkers, and the friendship group's helping us down the aisle, right? We're going to say, we fought the good fight. We finished the race. We kept the faith. And now there's a crown in store for the faithful. I did not expect you to share that, but thank you.
You asked the question.
Yeah. I was hoping you would have said, well, my grandmother's dog got hurt one day, and I felt really bad. Thank you, Matt. How's our time? Oh, we're way over. All right. Last week, Matt, you didn't get a chance to unpack this, and you don't need to, but I want you to read it because it's beautiful. And around your dinner tables and supper tables around Christmas, I want you to please get in the habit of pulling out the Bible, right? Unsolicited, unprepared. You're going to read Mary's song. And I just want you to get into the habit as a family of sitting around the table, opening the Bible, read it. Read it together and say, Lord Jesus, would you speak to us? We don't need to add any commentary, but Mary, in an absolute moment of joy, I'm giving birth to the Messiah, humbly writes this, what we call in high church terms, the Magnificat. Yes, Gab, this is the liturgy part for you, brother.
I was asked to read, but I'm going to read one verse previous to this, and then we'll read the song of praise. So one thing that I didn't get a whole lot of time to talk about last Sunday was that Mary's perspective on this story, and you've got it underlined, which is great. Verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And that's an interesting verse because of how it contrasts with what and how she speaks in this song of praise after she encounters her aunt. Okay. And I think one of the things that's really cool about this and one of the experiences that I had in my life was that, you know, something that is stressful or hard, chapter that's difficult, sometimes the perspective and the rejoice of a friend, a family member, can change the perspective on that scenario. Hmm. And her encounter with Elizabeth seems to bring on this joy that she was very evidently not expressing when she was encountering the angel. So,
I love it.
And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months, returned to her home.
Heavenly Father, thank you that your word just stands alone. Thank you for recognizing the state of the humble, and we would come before you today. And we, when we look in the mirror, it is deeply humbling. But you've created us in your image, And we want to look in the mirror and see your image. And we want to look at people and see your image and the potential therein. We love you, Lord. Thank you so much for clearly sending Matthew, Caitlin, and Daniel, and hopefully many more little kids to us through their family and others. Build your church, Lord Jesus. We know the gates of hell will not prevail. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Thanks, brother. That was cool. Love you, man. Musicians, we're going to come and sing a few more of my favorite Christmas songs. And then we'll have a little benedictory moment. More liturgy for my Anglican brother.
Once again, would you please join us?
Sing, O ye citizens of heaven.